In the region, the U.S. says it hit more than 85 targets overnight in response to the deaths of three troops last Sunday. The Iraqi government says 16 people were killed. Mike Hewitt, a former American Navy Rear Admiral, believes it's likely just the beginning of the U.S. response.
You won't see any troops engaged. You won't see any of the things that we normally think about. What you're going to see is primarily precision airstrikes. And the other thing I think you'll see are additional levers such as sanctions.
French police say an attacker's injured three people in a stabbing at a Paris train station. A suspect was detained at Gare de Lyon this morning. A family member of a man wanted over a chemical attack in South London says he'd hand him over to police. A manhunt for Abdul Ezidi is entering its third day. After a two-year boycott, power sharing at Stormont is due to be restored. The DUP has agreed to a legislative deal that means no checks or customs paperwork will be needed on goods coming into Northern Ireland from elsewhere in the UK. Today we'll also see the appointment of the nation's first ever nationalist first minister, Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill.
The very fact that for the very first time someone from Sinn Féin, a nationalist, a Republican woman from Tyrone, will be first minister, that speaks to the change that's happening across this island.
In sport, a batting collapse from England's cricketers has left India in control of the second test after day two. Ben Stokes' side went from 110 for one to 253 all out, following the host's first innings total of 396. Batting again, India closed on 28 without loss, leading by 171 runs. And Tottenham are hoping to go level with third place rivals Arsenal by winning at Everton in the early Premier League kickoff. In the Scottish Premiership, leaders Celtic are away at managerless Aberdeen. That's the latest. I'm Faye Rowlands.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
How are we? Welcome to the weekend wind up here on Phoenix 98 FM. Happy Saturday, people. Should we do this?
Just a bit of toxic situation. why it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why it's almost, almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be, yeah, yeah, like a bell that is ringing for me, just me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear
some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon. As I said, welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. Good to have your company today. Happy Saturday. Hope you're having a great weekend. Thanks to Keith for a cracking show. Going to continue the music now for you. Great show lined up for you. Cover from another Danish Choice, Take 5. The Phoenix Film and DVD review. Oh, yes. Something for everybody there. But why not get in touch? You can email me at radio@phoenixfm.com. Or you can find me on social media, The Weekend Wind-Up. I'd love to have you company and hear from you. Tell me what you're up to. Anything planned for the weekend? Any birthdays, celebrations? Shout out to you. Just want to moan at someone? I'm your man. Get in touch. Next track's a brand new one from Paloma Faith. Loving this. This is Bad Woman.
Watch the chaos unfold. The walls we built burn. So I spin the wheel and then I call the shots in the end. Walk away from my homestead. Say I'm better on my own instead. Well, you can have the glory while I drive into
Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Kai Widrington, as contestants and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a Hallmark care home.
Remy was a pit mix, she was just skin and bones. Daddy found in a deep ditch on his way home. He said she hopped right up when he opened his door. When you feel that kind of feeling, son, you found hope. The age of 17, worked all summer long, washing cars and pulling weeds from your neighbor's lawn. Well, it wasn't no king ranch, but she was paid for. And you find that kind of freedom, buddy, you find yours.
There, we love that. Right, every week I myself and my colleagues, we always talk about the brilliant work that the Brentwood Food Bank do, and I've just got a bit of an update for you, and we're going to bang on about this because people really need this service, and they in turn need our support with donations and stuff. So basically they are feeding over 200 local people every week, and
they don't only give out food, they do, they give, offer assistance with agencies like Christians Against Poverty, they do things like managing debt and stuff like this. And also an organisation called Peabody. They run a clinic alongside the food bank every Wednesday, which help with housing and benefit difficulties and things like that. So they are such an essential service for the local community. But they are looking for donations. So if you can help out, if you could email them info@brentwood.foodbank.org.uk or call them on 01277 224 528. Now they're looking for donations, things like tinned goods, so chili, sardines, tuna, ham, corned beef, shower gels, deodorant, shampoos, pastas, anything basically. And you know, and we say this all the time, but we appreciate at the moment things are very difficult for a lot of people financially, so we're not telling people to go out there and asking people to get into debt or anything like that. But if you're in a supermarket and you saw a buy one, get one free, or you saw a yellow label or a supermarket own brand and you thought, I could afford that one item, even if it's just one tin of something, it would make a difference. So if you can help them, they'd really appreciate it. All the details are on our website as well, so you can see them on there. But it's an essential service, and if you can help them, they would really, really appreciate it, and they'd love it. Thank you. Right, carrying on. This is the brand new one, only released yesterday, from the Pet Shop Boys, and this is a cracking song. We love this. From the new album, which is due out in a couple of months, this is Loneliness.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Okay, first travel update of the day from me today. Roads are not looking too bad. There seems to be a problem around the Ingrave Herongate area on the A128. Can't see exactly what it is. I think there might be a minor accident there, but it looks like traffic's being held at the moment. So when I have more details, I'll let you know. But if you can avoid that, the map is showing that it's Ingrave and Herongate as well. Both ways. So it's obviously something significant that's happened there. There's also the ongoing roadworks around the Robin Hood pub leading up to Wilson's Corner, which are causing some congestion today as well. Apart from that, all other main roads at the moment seem to be looking okay. Now, London Underground, there are problems at the moment on a number of lines. There are minor delays on the Central Line and the District Line, Metropolitan and the Piccadilly Line. There are severe delays on the District, and there is a park closure planned for the Elizabeth, Jubilee and Waterloo and City Line. That's all weekend. So if you are thinking of using the London Underground, you do need to check with TfL because there are some issues there as well. Now, from what I can see, services on the Greater Anglia network are running okay, but they are subject to timetable alterations due to the industrial action this week. The same with C2C into Fenchurch Street. There are timetable alterations due to the strike action, but also engineering works as well. So services are disrupted. Check with those travel providers before heading out, and when we have updates, we'll let you know as well.
A boat, could you steer that sailor? Make it feel like it's a 1960s Hollywood trailer. Classic like cars, classic like Elizabeth Taylor. Could you torment me? I need a give and not a take. My ex is baby, 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 would you? Would you make it alright? Or maybe that much better. If you wanted, you could make it all worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. Ooh. When I see the sunrise of you, make it that much better. So we're gonna make it all worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. Ooh. Worth all of the time I'm about to give you, baby. So I hope you're gonna make it all worth it. The
something about it's making me cry. Hold it with the side.
Feel my body shuffle in your
one eye. I need to
let me have the time of my life.
Take your credentials, self-residentials. Ooh, baby boy, you got so much potential.
I could love you if I really wanted to. You could be.
Baby, would you?
Baby, would you?
Would you make it all right?
Would you make it all right?
Maybe that much better.
Maybe that much better.
If you wanted, you can make it all
worth it, worth it, worth it.
If you're worth it,
ooh, that's you.
When I see the sunrise, you make it that much better.
So you're gonna make it all.
is Phoenix 98 FM.
98 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a news flash for you. I've just been informed. I told you about that traffic. There's a problem. The legend is Keith Ball is stuck in the traffic. So if anyone's in a queue and you see a rather handsome middle-aged man, musician, legend, pop star, in quite a flashy car, looking frustrated, knock on his window, give him a cuddle. We'd love that. Just call out Keith Ball and he'll appear. He's like a genie. You say his name, the puff of smoke, and he's there. So he's stuck in that traffic. I won't tell you his exact words he said, because I'll get taken off air if I do that. But he's stuck in traffic at the moment, as many of you are. So hope you're doing. Listening to me, and have your windows open so people can hear me, and I'll keep you company all the way through that traffic. Poor Mr. Keith Ball. This is Mr. Tom Jones, one of my favourite songs of all time, so why not play it for you? Legendary.
I've been in love so many times, thought I knew the score, but now you've treated me so wrong, I can't take anymore, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again. Fall in love. I'm never gonna fall in love. Just broke down and cried, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love. Someone else, baby, I broke up all inside, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love.
That song gets me every time. What a glorious song. And I forgot to mention that That was written by Lonnie Donegan, if you remember Lonnie Donegan, who, fact fans, is the godfather of Mr. Keith Ball at the station. Yeah, didn't realise that. And I think I was aware of that, but I'd forgotten all about it. So Keith just rang in to remind me, yes, his godfather, Lonnie Donegan, who wrote that for Mr. Tom Jones. How amazing, eh? Lovely to hear that again. This is Erasure. Oh, they're coming thick and fast today, aren't they?
Fell into a bucket of cream. Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
Saturday afternoon means only one thing, Mr. Mark Searby in the Phoenix Film and DVD Review. Good afternoon.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Spencer. You okay?
Yes, not bad, not bad at all, thanks. Right, what have we got this week?
Well, we've got some more movies that are possibly going to get some awards nominations, maybe some wins as well, who knows? And then also, we don't know with the awards really, do we? That's the thing, you know, it's also up in the air. But let's start with the first one that's in cinemas now. It's called American Fiction. It's about a novelist who's fed up with the establishment profiteering from black entertainment. So he decides to use a pen name to write a book that propels him to the heart of hypocrisy and the madness he claims to disdain. Now, this is a really smart movie. It's billed as a satire. Right. And on some level, it sort of pokes fun at a lot of things that are meant to be serious subjects. And it does it in such a way that's both funny, but also is making some very real and forthright points. However, I think what the film does best is it picks apart popular entertainment, and it also picks apart black stories told within entertainment. It's very cleverly done. We've got this novelist, Thelonious Ellison, monk to his friends and family. He's not a successful writer. He is a very intelligent writer, and he's written some very intelligent books, but he's not successful. And he gets annoyed when he sees intelligent black writers dumbing down to write books that pander to the masses. You know, he hates the idea of writing a book about incarceration or drug abuse or alcohol abuse. But he decides to write one of those books as a joke under a pen name. The problem is this joke backfires on him, and suddenly there's this bidding war between publishers and film studios. So then Monk has this problem that he has to meet these people, but he can't meet them as himself. He's got to meet them as his alter ego called Stagg, S-T-A-G-G, an ex-con.
Right.
Exactly. Already you're kind of thinking, well, that's kind of funny. It is funny. Yeah. It's really funny. There's some great moments in this where he's trying to be aggressive and attitude-y and thinking that's what these studio people want. And then he leaves the room and he's just like, he goes back to being a mild-mannered, very middle-class man. So there's enjoyment here. There's funny moments. It's funny. Interesting to see how far Monk is willing to go to get his point made. However, this film, I think, is all about breaking down why certain black stories are popular and why certain black writers are popular. It's a film about why mass media is drawn to only certain types of black stories. And this film picks that apart in a way that I think is really informative, really interesting, and really entertaining. And, you know, as I said, I suggest it's a satire. However, I think it goes beyond that. It starts to question our own standards of the stories that we enjoy and continue to enjoy. I think on some level it's like a character study of not just ourselves, but also Monk in there as well, as to how he's dealing with all of these situations. You've got in there as well a romance plot as well. Monk is trying to find romance while also at the same time trying to not show his other side, Stagg, to the woman he's romancing as well. So it's got a lovely subplot about this romance in there that's quite small, it's quite tender, and I like that about it. But you've got this movie that is kind of on the same hand, really, small, intimate moments that are exploring the bigger picture in life, the bigger idea of what's going on here as to why we consume certain types of stories. And it's so wonderfully done. It's really, really well done. I've got to mention as well here, actually, Spencer, is that in the lead, Jeffrey Wright, who plays Monk, he's fascinating to watch. Really fascinating. I mean, I like him as an actor. I think he's been very good through the years. You know, he always gives a good performance. This one is something else. And I think he benefits from having other actors to bounce off him. It's a bit of an ensemble piece because you've
got... Can you remind me, what's he known from? I'm trying to picture him.
Well, I know him from Angels in America, the miniseries that obviously HBO had. But he's been in lots of stuff. You know, I believe he was in Westworld as well, the TV series. But
He's one
of these actors who you know to look at, but you possibly don't know his name. Or he turns up and you go, okay, we've got some quality here. That's what happens with Jeffrey Wright. But it's an ensemble piece as well. We've got other actors in here, and their characters kind of come and go and are equally as fascinating to watch with their own stories. So while the main plot here is about Monk and him profiteering from stories that he doesn't actually like. You've got other stories going on in here where each performance complements the other one as well. And I think that each of them leave a lasting impression, not just on the movie, but on us watching it as well. They've got some really interesting thoughts in this movie. I think this is really well written. It's very well directed. It's really well acted as well. As I said, it's an ensemble piece. You know, I pick out Jeffrey Wright. He's very, very good in this. But so is the rest of the cast, to be honest. The film's funny. And yet it's also heartfelt. And it's absolutely razor sharp on its exploration of popular culture as well. That I kind of came away going, wow. That's a film I was not expecting it to be. Really outstanding work here from everybody involved.
It's lovely when that happens, isn't it? And a film like that, you wasn't expecting it. It just sort of exceeds all expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I didn't know too much about it. I had only seen the posters about, which has got Jeffrey Wright in a smart suit, but then drawn over the top is kind of like he's got a cap on and he's got big gold chains. You know, it's the stag persona. So I had only seen that, and it kind of confused me as to what it was. So I'm pleased I didn't watch too much, you know, in terms of trailers or anything else like that, because this really, I really enjoyed this movie. Really enjoyed it. Came away being really impressed with everything.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff. One for the list. Thank you, sir. Right, what's next up?
Okay, so also in cinemas this week is a movie called The Zone of Interest. Now, this is another movie that's been talked up a lot for awards nominations. This is the story of Rudolf Hess, who is the commandant of Auschwitz. And it's also about his wife, Hedwig, who strive to build a dream life for their family in a house and garden next to Auschwitz. So this is, you know, this subject is tough. This is a tough subject. You've got an idyllic family building a life next door to the horrors of Auschwitz. I just think about that for a second. A family trying to build a life, but they also run Auschwitz and they live next door to it.
And do they do it justice? Is it done cleverly or?
The thing is, I think it depends on a lot of different things as to how you feel about this movie. There's a lot of feelings that this movie throws up and watching it as well. I saw this movie a while ago. I actually saw this movie last year. And I have to say that while the initial idea for the storyline has not left me at all, the actual film itself has. It's a film that plays with logic and standard filmmaking. It throws in all sorts of small idents and noises and just things in the background. The film doesn't need to do that. It's got enough weight to it without throwing these confusing bits in to throw everything else off. So I think it's more experimental filmmaking than traditional filmmaking, because this is from director Jonathan Glazer, who did a brilliant movie with Scarlett Johansson called Under the Skin. So you can see, if you've seen that movie, you'll understand how this is very different. The story itself, I was really interested to see a film about a traditional family. I mean, as much as I can say traditional family, you know, we're talking about a Nazi family here living next door to Auschwitz who run it. I mean, traditional, not too much, but you know, in the way that I'm trying to describe it, they are a wife, a husband, wife, kids. You know, it's that they're building a life during a time when the war is in full swing. The man of the house, Rudolf Hess, is very much all work and no play. He leaves everything to his wife for their family. She builds the house, she builds a swimming pool, it's right next door to the camp, and at one point She's got her mother there for a weekend. And at one point, she says to her mother, "I'm now being referred to as the Queen of Auschwitz."
You know, it's strange, isn't it? Because when you don't even consider. So in that abhorrent place and that situation, you don't appreciate there were people there that were living, quote, normal family lives.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think that, isn't it? It's so strange.
That's what this film is trying to say, is that as much as we don't want to see that, we don't want to think about actually there are regular people there. We actually look at them as all horror, you know, all horror. That's what this film is doing. There are scenes in this movie that are there to prod and provoke a reaction. Probably the whole film is there to do that, actually. But as I said, it really depends on how you sit with a lot of the things that are in this movie as to what you feel about the movie as well. So I'll give you another example, Spencer, is that there's a scene in the movie where the kids are having a birthday party in the back garden. And they're laughing and joking and running around and whatever else. And the adults are doing the same. And then in the background, you can hear gunshots and the churning of engines constantly going off in the background.
Absolutely chilling. Yeah,
exactly. So the film is trying to show the horrors of the horrors of war are never far away. They're a brick wall away and you can't shy away from it. But while, see, there's going to be a lot of people who go, that's kind of an interesting idea. And that's what I thought as well. I like the idea of, you know, we can't get away from war, no matter which side of the fence we're on. This film does not do that idea justice at all. Instead, I felt it was a slow, rambling film that really tested my patience when it comes to actually doing something of note. I'm sure there will be people who say that the film is doing loads of things. You know, I know loads of my fellow film critics absolutely adore this movie. I never found it doing anything apart from boring me senseless. I think the idea in this movie is really fascinating, really thought-provoking as well, and probably quite displeasing to a lot of people. But the end product, for me, was so achingly bland that I never felt like it was thought-provoking or it was displeasing. Like, none of those were in the forefront of my mind at all. The only thing that was at the forefront of my mind was, why did I waste my time on this? That's what it is. You know, I've seen Jonathan Glazer say this movie is about the banality of evil. And that's a fair point. But for me, the banality of evil is the blandness of filmmaking with this movie. It's so bland and dull, and people are going to turn around to me and say, you're completely wrong, you're missing the actual point. But I know what the point is. But this is not explaining it in the way that it feels like it should be doing. It feels like it is doing. That's what I think, anyway.
You've got to be going somewhere, haven't you, to make a film with that subject matter bland. It's, you know, you've got to be going completely off kilter.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, the central idea, I thought was fascinating. I thought, okay, there's got to be a really interesting movie here. And I'd heard great things about it. I came away feeling like, just like I'd watched nothing. Even though, as I said, you know, there's going to be people out there. I know that this movie is being raved about by loads and loads of people. For me, I don't think it's a good movie at all. I really don't.
It's really interesting. Fascinating. Thank you. So, thank you. And what do we have anything lined up for next week yet?
Next week, we're going to get some serious stuff next week, Spencer. So,
all right.
We're going to talk about The Iron Claw, which is a movie all about the Von Erich family, the wrestling Von Erich family, who is hugely influential in the 70s and 80s. This is a story about them and their supposed curse that was put on the family.
Right, okay.
So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about a movie called The Settlers, which is set in 1901 in Chile, and it's about three horsemen who were paid to protect a estate. Very atmospheric. Okay. Very atmospheric. Okay. And then also, if you subscribe to the podcast, we're going to do a British gangster movie called Gassed Up. Now, this premiered at London Film Festival last year, and then subsequently it is now being released next week. So we will talk about that as well.
I think I know about this, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. Listen, you know loads of people anyway. You know loads of cool actors. So it wouldn't surprise me if you know people in this anyway.
Yeah, I think I do, actually. I think I do know someone. So it's just ringing a bell. So, oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait. So thank you, sir. Appreciate it today. You have a good weekend, and we will see you next week.
I will do. You too.
You take care.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
98.
FM.
FM.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.